Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to Anomaly. I'm Jen, and Garrus was once my main squeeze. And I am an anomaly. This gaming episode is another impromptu edition of Anomaly. Angela and I will be bringing you our commentary on Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone a little later this month. It's just that we couldn't wait to talk about the games we were playing. We recorded this conversation during our lunch break this past Tuesday, and because of the pretty Texas weather and the fact that our fellow employees would not leave us to record in peace, we took our equipment to a nearby park. As it turned out, the traffic was just about as disruptive as our coworkers. But I'm hoping it'll make you feel as though you're sitting across from us partaking in the conversation. In this episode, we're discussing Sims, Civilization, Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, Oblivion, Skyrim, and more. Don't worry, we don't really give any spoilers. If you have questions or comments, don't blab them aloud to yourself in the center of your mom's basement. Send them to us so that we can respond accordingly. Podcasts are different. They're meant to be interactive. Visit our website for contact information and much more. You can find it all at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Before I bring you the gaming conversation, there were a few details that I neglected to bring up in that conversation. You can find me on Xbox Live. I would gladly accept your friend request as long as you tell me that you're a listener and what your real name is. My game tag is Sevryll, and that's spelled S-E-V-R-Y-L-L. And in Mass Effect 3, I'm a level 35 infiltrator at the moment I'm recording this, and I'm a goody-goody-two-shoes paragon. In Skyrim, I'm a level 10 Nord. And I haven't really done anything other than the main quest yet. I quit it to play Mass Effect 3. I'll pick it up later. It's one of those games I play at a leisurely pace. After you listen to this episode, I hope you will send us feedback. Visit our show notes because we'll have links there and possibly some videos and other good information. Just look for the show notes at anomalypodcast.com. I guess it was last month, I was invited to be on the Sending a Wave podcast with Wendy and Odile from England. You can find their podcast at iTunes. It was a good conversation. It was fun, and I hope you'll go check them out. The other thing I wanted to mention is that I talked a little bit about the Ladies of Leet. They are also another really good geek girl podcast. They talk all about games. You can find them online. Just Google Ladies of Leet, L-E-E-T, or you can find them on iTunes. So stay tuned after these messages for our gaming conversation. Talk to you guys later.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
To find the Anomaly recording schedule, blog Geek Emporium, and fan forum, visit anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com.
Hello, Jen and Angela. This is Meds from the Anomaly Forums and Waffle On Podcast and, of course, one of the minds behind Martian Creative. I'm recording to you from a sunny England with my little one sitting next to me. We're talking to Jen and Angela on the Anomaly Podcast Forum. Okay. Why? Because they're doing a podcast on gaming, recent games. You know, we sit down and... Why? Because people are interested, that's why. Yes, it's... Why? Well, it's that age where, of course, children just ask the question, why? And why indeed? The inevitable question. So, games. Yeah, I'm currently playing L.A. Noire at the moment. I know it's a year or so old. I'm really enjoying it. I like a game that you have to follow clues. and try and work out what's going on, yeah? We like to play a little while, don't we? Yeah. Is it the fast car? Daddy driving?
Yes, yeah. Too faster.
Too faster?
Yes, I want to drive a bit.
You want to drive a bit?
Yeah.
Okay, should we play it in a minute then? We'll go show me then. Show me in your car. Off you go. Okay, sorry. yeah, L.A. Noire. I really enjoy it. I like to play a game in which I have to try and figure out the crimes, although I've done pretty bad in it. I'm still rather enjoying it. I recently completed Batman Arkham City, which I thought was a great game, really good, but not as good as Batman Arkham Asylum, which to me was one of the best games I have ever played. The other one was probably Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I really enjoyed the Assassin's Creed games, and I'm definitely going to get the new one. I think, is it out already, or it's going to come out soon? I know you guys are really into Mass Effect. I know, Jen, you've been giving us some great updates on Mass Effect 3 and what this ending is going to be like. Ultimately, games are always a little bit disappointing with the endings, I think. Definitely Batman Arkham City was a disappointing ending. I'm not going to say what it is in case anyone's still playing. Okay, well, you go and drive the car like I do. Yes, it does drive it like I do. I think Arkham City really was a letdown compared to Arkham Asylum. But as I was saying, Assassin's Creed is the game I really do thoroughly enjoy. It can't beat a little bit of killing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you say about Mass Effect 3 when you finish it, Jen. I really am interested. There seems to be a bit of a hullabaloo going on. I couldn't really get into Mass Effect 1, but I'm willing to give it another go. Anyway, I'm going to go now because I'm being harassed by a little girl. Can't wait to hear the podcast.
Daddy.
Are you going to say bye-bye? Say bye-bye. No, just looking. And I'll speak to you all soon.
Daddy.
Oh, bye.
Support Anomaly through feedback and donations by visiting anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. On to the main topic.
There's like 25 railroads here.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's making me go outside. I'm not a fan of the outdoors.
It's nice out here. We are recording in our not multi-million dollar studio.
Nope.
In a park. And I thought it would be quiet, but there's a train in the background.
And there's a lot of birds.
But I think the birds are a nice ambiance. And today we are talking about the games we're playing. We're going back to what, 2005?
Yeah, last.
Up to current.
Few years.
In the future, we'll do games that we've played in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
And then
we'll just do a classic game episode.
Yeah, classic game episode. But you go first.
I like racing games, and I like Sims, and I like Civilization. I've been playing Civilization. I started playing Civilization 2 in the early 2000s, and right now I play Civilization 4 and 5, and we just got 5 on Steam. I played Civilization 4 for a very long time, and that's kind of what I was playing pretty much in the last, like, 5 years. And I was a big Sims player. I played Sims, regular Sims, starting in the 2000s, and then I got Sims 2. And I have Sims 3, however, I really like Sims 2. I like Sims 2 the best out of all of them because, I don't know, I just like the gameplay a lot better. The Sims and Civilization are two of my favorite games because I kind of like that god game mentality. The idea of, you know, controlling a world is neat. And Civilization, I think I like a little bit better, because it's kind of historical, I guess, and also because there's an end. There's an ending to Civilization. You can win. Whereas Sims, it's just, you know, you're just trying to keep these people alive, and it's sort of
have you ever killed your
bizarre
characters?
No, I don't have. I've accidentally killed my characters, but I've never done it on purpose. Have you played any Sims
no.
at all? Do you know anything about it?
I've watched you play, and I know you've said you've had a Jin Sims character.
Oh, yeah, character. Yeah. I didn't play with them for very long. So you have your character, and they have all of these needs. They have hunger, bathroom, social, creativity, fun. They have all these different needs that they have. And if you keep them in the green, then they're happy. And then, or sleep, that's another one. If you keep them in the green, then they're happy. And if they start getting into the red, then they're sad about whatever it is. And they'll start asking you for food and stuff like that. So what I would do sometimes is I would, like, lock them in a room just to kind of challenge myself to see how quickly I could get them back to happy. I don't know. I know that sounds like ridiculous, but you'd have a neighborhood, right, of different Sims. And sometimes you'd have two or three in a house or however many. But basically, when you logged in, you logged into a house. Now, you interacted with NPCs, and then you also could interact with other Sims that you created in other houses. But if you were logged into, say, Jen's house and Angela came over, you couldn't control anything Angela was doing. You could only control Jen. Now you could control how Jen was interacting with Angela, but you could only control Jen. Now if you log out and log into Angela's house, you had control over Angela, but not Jen. And I liked that because then you could create people for your Sim to, you know, get along with, and you could nurture relationships, and you could nurture relationships with one while the other one was kind of in stasis because they didn't age while you were logged in with the other person, and you kind of go back and forth. With Sims 3, when you log into a neighborhood, you're logged into the whole neighborhood, and you can only pick one family that you have control over. You can make other people, but you have to choose whether that game is about them or about another house. And so you can create them, but you don't ever get to have control over them again. So you can't go back and forth and, like, you know, have a little more control over the relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I found that very annoying. It is cool because I think that people wanted more interaction, like, within a city. And so I think that's why they did it that way. And if somebody else plays it, please let me know what I'm missing. Of course, the graphics and the building and all that is a lot better in Sims 3, but I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'd rather play Sims 2, so I haven't really played it that much. And then, of course, Civilization. I mean, that's just an awesome game. I just challenge anyone that's into games at all to, like, sit down at Civilization. It's one of those games where you look up, and it's literally 5 hours later, and you're like, oh, I forgot to eat and pee. It's pretty awesome, though. So that's kind of been the ones that I've been playing consistently for almost 10 years. So.
Yeah. I like playing RPG games. So they have to have good storylines and... what I really like, too, is designing the character, especially if I'm capable of playing a female. Because to me, it's more immersive if I can play a female character and design her to look like me. It's the closest that I can get to a holodeck. So I have been playing Oblivion and Mass Effect for the past 5 years. Really, Oblivion's not that old. So before that, it was Knights of the Old Republic, but that's older than 5 years ago, I guess. But
I played it.
We both played that and liked it. We're going to focus on that at another time, though. So Oblivion was a really cool fantasy game. I know people that have either played Dragon Age or Oblivion, but I don't know many people who have played both. What do I like the best about them? The openness of the game. You can go anywhere in the environment. There are many different cities you can visit, and they're all different. It's probably a lot like WoW. You played WoW, and you didn't even touch on that.
Well, I thought we were going to kind of go back and forth. Because the two games I mentioned are just the ones that have been kind of consistent for years and years and years that I still play. So,
like I said, the environment was really engaging to me. And then when I got really good, I could switch the game to a more difficult setting, I guess. So especially Mass Effect, because I played that thing several times all the way through, ending up on Insanity on the last one, just to make it more challenging. And that's a sci-fi based game, so I really encourage people, if you haven't played Mass Effect, go pick up the games and start playing. Start from the first game, because they're still beautiful. They'll still work with your
Xbox
or your PC. It's PC based, and I think, you know, the later games also work on PlayStation. Well, you play a character named Commander Shepard, and you can make Commander Shepard male or female. You're charged with saving the universe. You start out as the first human Spectre, which is kind of like a special ops person, and there's only been the aliens involved. After I've played the third one, I've realized that the threat in the universe is a lot like the Borg. They're a bio-hybrid race that's bent on assimilating every civilization. They represent order, and we are chaotic, and they think that we need to be saved. So, anyway, yeah, it is interesting. And it's a different spin because, I mean, the Borg are very scary because they're sterile and, you know, creepy. They have all these synthetic parts to them, but the Reapers are scary in a zombie kind of way. So, anyway, I highly recommend those two games. Oh, Skyrim. Yeah, I moved on to from Oblivion to Skyrim, started playing Skyrim, and then started playing Mass Effect when that came out, because Mass Effect is my favorite game. But Skyrim's been really cool. I was talking to my friend Gerald. I asked him if he thought the game was more difficult than Oblivion, and he's in agreement with me that there are some times when you can walk into an area that you're not prepared for, and it doesn't matter. You're not ready to go into that section of the game, so your butt's going to get kicked.
Yeah.
And that happens to me on a consistent basis. Like, I walk into the wrong dungeon or something and get killed as soon as I step in. Yep. But I was telling him that I've developed a strategy for that. I just run away really fast, and then I end up aggroing other animals that come after me, and then they just start fighting each other, and I wait till they're all dead, and then I go and pick what I need off of them, and I'm good.
That's good. My husband and I both played World of Warcraft, and I really liked it. Like, it has similarities to Oblivion, because I borrowed Oblivion, and I played through some of it, but I do like the whole RPG aspect, and that's what I liked about WoW, but the thing about WoW that I really liked was, one, was the cooperative play. You go in, and you have your friends, or, like, Jim and I, it was something that we could play together, and I really liked that, and I like the type of characters, because I played a mage, and I really like, shooting things at people. Shooting fireballs at people and being able to rain fire on them and stuff like that. That's always fun for me. And I just really liked WoW because, like what you were saying, I like the idea that I'm a level 10, and let's say I'm a level 10 and I go into a level 20 area. You know, as soon as you go in there, how messed up you can get. And it's pretty obvious when you go in a different area, and then the quest lines are really easy to follow. Like, you can go around the whole world and look at stuff, but it follows a linear progression. For my ADD brain, Oblivion is too much freedom. Like, I prefer a much more linear quest line. And I don't know how, not like so much that it's Mario where it's just across the screen, but just something where it's like, okay, well, here's your next point. And so that's why Oblivion, I haven't gotten as much into it. I don't not like it. I just haven't found my groove yet. Also, and this is kind of more funny, is that I really enjoy playing racing games. Love them. As some of you know, I hate driving. Like, I hate it. I don't like driving in the real world. If I cannot drive, I will give somebody else the ability to do so. I hate it. I hate being on the road. But for some reason, I really love racing games, and I like bashing into people, and I like racing past them, and I like winning. Everybody likes winning, but I just really like racing games, and I'm really good at it. I can usually beat my husband, and he gets very upset. No, he's cool. He's a good sport. But I really love playing racing games. I decorate my cars and everything, and get new cars and stuff, and so that's fun for me. I know that's kind of dumb.
No. But
I really love racing games. And right now, I am playing on the Xbox Assassin's Creed 2. And it's awesome. I love it. I have burned through a lot of hours already. Just in the past, I've pretty much only been playing it for like 2 weeks. But it's a good motivator because I like get my laundry done and then I play Assassin's Creed. And it's silly because, and you'll go into this when you talk about the statistics, because in an RPG, I do usually like to play a girl. I usually pick a girl. But it really doesn't bother me playing Ezio. And it's funny, especially when he goes into the whorehouses. I'm like, I'm a mech. It's like, this assassin's tired and he needs some help. Anyway, but we were talking about this too, that you think it's funny that I like the game so much because the whole point of the game is violence. I mean, yeah. It's about an assassin. So, and the whole point of the assassin's guild or whatever is that they kind of kill without mercy, and pretty much anything's fair game. There's two things I like about it, though. A, they give you a reason because you're avenging somebody's death. And, vengeance is always a reason to kill people. And then, any game where you're killing random soldiers, you're not going to do anything special. But whenever he gets to the main guy and kills him, he always says this prayer, like, for their soul or something. I don't even know. But I don't know. I feel like it's and it's something that happens at the beginning of the game where his uncle, like, tells him that it's not just about killing them and throwing them away. It's like, you still have to have respect for death. Like, death is something to respect. And so I think that mindset of the game makes me happy. But also, the swords are really pretty. And it's not too bloody. It's a little bloody, and you can turn the blood off if you want to. But a lot of people that play Assassin's Creed will tell you this, but it's mainly about climbing. That dude climbs and climbs and climbs. And a lot of the puzzles that you solve and things like that are about, like, how can you find your way to the top of this mm-hmm. tower? And so it was funny. I sometimes play it with Russell in the room, and he just doesn't even pay attention. And I was kind of worried about him seeing, you know, some of the violence, but I realized that it was the climbing that actually, like, he started watching that, and he's like, I can, you know, he tried to climb up one of our walls, and I was like, yeah, no, that's not a good example for my kid, but anyway. And the outfit's really cool, and I know it's a guy, but still, anyway. So I love it. I really like Assassin's Creed. I'm going to finish it, play Revelations, and then, or not Revelations, Brotherhood, mm-hmm. and then the new one comes out mm-hmm. Soon, so very excited.
Mass Effect has really cool costumes in it, too.
Yeah.
The uniforms, the armor, the helmets. There's a guy that's making the armor, and it costs like $2,000 for him to custom make you armor, and I thought, mm-hmm. if I won the lottery... I would just make that and wear it while I play the game.
That'd be awesome.
And then maybe eventually I'd wear it to Dragon Con if we ever showed up.
Yep.
But
I would love a girl version of Ezio's white costume. That'd
yeah,
be awesome.
It's,
that leather
it's
armor.
Definitely cool armor.
That'd be really cool. Mm-hmm.
I've also played Star Wars The Force Unleashed 1 and 2. And I guess I was a little spoiled by Knights of the Old Republic and how the character you're playing is... a role-playing character. So this Force Unleashed is a first-person shooter type game. So you don't have that much direction
right.
for the character. I enjoyed the first Force Unleashed game better than the second.
Okay.
The second, I really jumped all over it because I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to buy it right now.
Uh-huh.
So I bought it, and then I was instantly disappointed when the game ended after playing it for like 2 days.
Mm.
I can't play games a lot now because I have a son. And so I play while he's taking a nap, and I've done all my work. Like you were saying, you know, you reward yourself by
being able to
game after you've done all your housework or whatever.
Yes.
And I just felt ripped off. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, they're probably trying to get me for, you know, downloadable content. Well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, it was a ripoff in the first place. I felt gypped.
Well, speaking of downloading, for Christmas, Jim got me a copy of Alice, the new Alice, American mm-hmm. McGee's Alice, which I played early in the 2000s. I played through that, the PC version of the game. And I liked it, but it was very buggy. Whereas this one looks just as pretty. It's prettier because it's like 10 years newer. But we downloaded it from Steam, which is interesting. I don't know if anyone else is on Steam, but Jim is like kind of obsessed with it right now. He keeps downloading all these like little games, and he downloaded Portal and Half-Life, and so you can get old games on it. And he got Alice really, really cheap, and that's where I got Civilization 5 as well. And I haven't played that much through Alice, but it's a beautiful game. Like as far as art direction so far, it's gorgeous, but I haven't really played that far into it. And then there's two things. One, I wanted to talk about my trial, and then I was going to ask you a question too.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends John and Jen sent us the trial for Star Wars The Old Republic, which was awesome. And, you know, Jim and I both really liked playing WoW, and we like MMOs, and so we, you know, we wanted to give it a try. We also like Star Wars, and I really enjoyed KOTOR, so I thought if it's going to be the same group of people, that would be awesome. A couple of things. I like how they did it so that you don't have to be a Jedi to be happy in the game. Free trial, I went and I rolled a Jedi. I can see how somebody would like it because it's a melee class and you have the lightsaber and everything like that. And you do get some powers, and of course I only played to like level 8, so I'm sure it gets better, but I just wasn't into it, and I went and randomly rolled a bounty hunter, you know, Sith character, just to see something different, and I loved that character. So I really think if I were to start playing again, that I would probably stick with the bounty hunter and play the Jedi as like an alt, because they make the other characters cool enough and fun enough that you don't feel like you have to be a Jedi. Because I think that was one of the issues with Galaxies, was that everybody wanted to be a Jedi. And then also you have the kind of WoW thing where it's two sides against each other and you have to pick a side. I also like the aspect of when you choose a class, like I chose like a human, or actually a cyborg bounty hunter, and the idea of the classes like in World of Warcraft is just really you have the same story, but it's how you kill people is just different. You know, okay, if I'm a mage, I shoot fireballs and you have arrows because you're a hunter. But it's not really that much of a different story. Whereas so far what I've seen in Star Wars, in The Old Republic, is that as a bounty hunter, you have a story that you manage, and that's your story. And the idea of a class the class part of it, it plays a much bigger role than I've seen in the other MMO that I played. So, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you have a different game, like, story. So, anyway, and it was just really cool, and missiles are fun to shoot at people. So, there you go.
I didn't mention a lot of things about Skyrim and Mass Effect. The cool thing about Skyrim is that now you get helpers, and you've mentioned that in Star Wars, Old Republic.
Yes, I got a helper at level 8, and it's awesome.
They are nice, and you can equip them. They can carry your stuff for you in Skyrim. You can also get married in Skyrim, which is like Fable, which I've played also recently.
Yeah.
I'm not as big a Fable fan. It's a little too cartoony for me. And I
thought it was cool. I just couldn't get it to work on my machine.
It sounds like you had a disc problem. But the Skyrim game, that's a difference. You can get married, and then that person you marry can then open up a shop for you, and you can make money off of them.
Cool.
So that's cool. And then in Mass Effect, there are different relationships that you can pursue. And if you imported a character from game one, you can keep importing them into game two and game three. And then that storyline affects the end story. Whatever you've been doing in each game will eventually determine the outcome of the last game, and the way that your relationships are affected and who is on your team and whatever. But I've had a problem importing characters.
Ah.
So I was able to import my female shepherd from game one from Mass Effect 1 into Mass Effect 2. But then I could not import her into Mass Effect 3. And because I play the game so much, I usually play these games over and over again just to explore the different possibilities and storylines and outcomes. So I ended up with a male shepherd that was available for me to import into Mass Effect 3, which I don't want to start out playing a male because, I'll always follow up with the male just to see how the story is different if I play that character. But I'll also, have different relationships with the different characters.
Cool.
So, I started out with Caden in Mass Effect 1. And then Mass Effect 2, he didn't have anything to do with my team. So she ended up with Garrus, which is like this cockroach-looking guy. Why not?
Yeah.
They're friends. It makes perfect sense. Their relationship should develop that way. So, and then in Mass Effect 3, she picked it up with Caden again because I wasn't able to import my character from Mass Effect 2. So that stunk. I don't know why that happened, but I've heard other people had problems importing characters. I don't know what that's about.
That's lame.
So what was your question?
Oh, I was going to ask you what your opinion or how you've reacted to the stories and rumors about the ending of Mass Effect 3. And I know you haven't gotten there yet, but...
Well, the thing that people have been saying is that the decisions you have to make are very, very difficult. And what I heard came from Ladies of Leet, which is a podcast that I recommend. I think it's Kim. She played the game all the way through, and she said that they're very hefty decisions that actually make you feel dirty.
Yeah.
And she has actually taken a break from playing really heavy games like that anymore because she just feels so, it's depressing.
Yeah.
And so I'm only 50% through the game, and I've already had to make a decision like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel as bad about it. I guess because I'm more capable of being logical, where I'm like, okay, so this race is cybernetic, and they were created by this race of creatures. So if I have to choose between the people who've been, their plant has been destroyed, and the robots that destroyed them, I'm going to pick the people. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
So it didn't make me feel dirty at all. But I know that it's going to get worse. You're going to keep having to make decisions like that, and it's going to get harder and harder. In fact, I already lost a teammate where I had to send him to go to do a specific task, and he died. It's the path that I'm choosing. I could have probably kept him with me, but then I would have been a more renegade than I am a paragon, if that makes sense. And I'm a goody-goody two-shoes. I find it extremely difficult to do the bad things in the games, no matter what. Even though I did it in Oblivion to explore all the avenues, I had to be a part of the Assassin's Guild and the Dark Brotherhood, or whatever they're called, I can't remember now, and the Thieves Guild. Those, they do a little more dirty, shifty things.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to do that in order to explore the game. But I still feel dirty afterwards, especially when your team says things to you, like in Knights of the Old Republic, where they go, "Why are you doing this?" And they make make you feel guilty.
Don't lie. It's easy to be mean to Bastula. Sometimes when I was talking to Bastula, I would just say things mean just because I wanted her to shut up.
Me too.
And it's not because I really wanted to be mean. It was just like, please stop whining. Yeah. You idiot.
Well, she reminded me of somebody that I dislike. So I did not have a hard time telling her.
It's funny that you say that too, because like in the Old Republic, you get social points, and you also get light side and dark side points regardless of
what side you're on.
And when I was playing the bounty hunter, I earned a lot of light side points. I think we talked about this before, but there was one situation where, for instance, it's kind of like what you were talking about, where it's an early level, doesn't give away anything in the game, but basically you go into the city and, you know, you go to this quest giver, you know, you click on them and you're talking to them, and the quest giver says, oh, you know, we need food for our family, and we have to sell, you know, we have to get these energy pods, and will you go get the energy pods for us so that we can sell them to feed our family? And you're like, okay, I'll accept that quest. So, like, you go in to, like, the energy station, you collect all the pods, and you go to get them charged. And, like, when you click to charge them, this guy comes up behind you and is like, stop. And he's a slave, and he's like, if anyone else steals energy from the station, then they're going to kill my family. And you're like, well, what do I do? Let this family die or let the other family starve? It's like, oh, my gosh. And it ends up that you are able to kind of work around, but I don't know if the whole game's going to be like that. There might be other situations where you don't get an out. The weirdest part was when I was playing the Jedi, I actually kept earning dark side points because sometimes the Jedi, you know, they are pretty strict about stuff. So you say something you think would be like the nice thing to do, but it's like the illogical thing to do. And so they're like, oh, dark side points. And I'm like, how did I do this? I have a bounty hunter with a heart of gold, and I have a Jedi who... Yeah.
I think that's why people are whining about Mass Effect 3. They're getting, the ladies of Leet called it nerd rage. Because they're so upset about the way that the game turns out. All the decisions you've had to make throughout the games don't seem to have much effect on the ending. And so they're very upset about that. But I think that that's probably because of the decisions you have to make between races and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's basically the end of the world. And in war, you make really hard decisions.
Sure.
Kim was saying that she thought that, you know, they made sense for the game and the storyline, but they still don't make you feel good.
That's
I haven't gotten to that point yet, so I don't know how bad it gets. So.
I know you and I have talked about this before with also the type of games that... I think that I was telling you that I don't like watching war games. Like, Jim for a while had this, like, a World War II game, and I just couldn't... I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch him play it. It was just too... You know, the Germans would try to get you, and it would just be too creepy. But for some reason, I'm not having trouble with Assassin's Creed. A, because I think the Renaissance is far enough away that it looks costumey.
Yeah.
And all of the soldiers that you're usually fighting are... They're in kind of the weird helmets and stuff, and so it's not like you're it's not like you're fighting people. And then also the guys that you do end up killing, you know, it's part of this conspiracy. In your world, they are the bad guys. In fact, there's times where you're like in a melee and you're just kind of fighting everybody and you accidentally push the wrong button and it'll say Ezio did not kill civilians. It'll like pop up.
Yeah.
Sorry. You can't do that. Ezio did not kill civilians. And you're like, oh, sorry. I was just knifing people. I don't know. Got in my way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's good. I mean, I feel like there's some sort of moral compass, I guess. When you finish Mass Effect, hopefully I'll finish Assassin's Creed, and
we'll
have
talk
a little,
about it again.
A little mini cast about how we liked the games. Mm-hmm. So, anywho,
yeah.
And we are going to do another cast about
Harry Potter and
I was going to say gaming wise, we're going to do one about KOTOR. We're going to do one about our classic games like that we grew up with and stuff, and then 80s and 90s. And Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely. Well, I know you have a meeting to get back to. This is our work day. We're on our lunch break. So I will follow it up with the poll that we took about whether people like playing male or female characters in RPG video games. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Yay! Okay. And here are the results of our Gamers Male or Female Tunes survey. 43% who answered these questions were female, while 56.7% were males. 30% played console, 23.3% played PC, and 46.7% played both. For the question of, do you prefer playing male or female characters, 34.5% of you said you prefer playing male characters, while 65.5% of you said you prefer playing female characters. You were given the option to answer why that's the case, and these were your answers. I prefer to play RPG games, thus playing a specific role. In my case, female. IRL, I'm already male. This person must be responding to the fact they're playing a male. I don't understand how females' minds work. This person says they like playing females because they can be stronger. I don't remember many, if any, options of choosing genders in a game until I played Fallout in 1997. I didn't like the meth head male choices for myself, so I chose female. Since then, if given the option, I choose females, almost always as a first choice. As to why, I think partly because it liberated me from playing a stereotype that I didn't fit. 15 years later, I still prefer playing females, because really, at the end of the day, I'm a male all the time, comfortable in my heterosexuality, and just love the characters I create. It sort of harkens back to Joss Whedon and his constantly being questioned of why he creates such strong female characters. Not just because you're asking that question, but because he loves to. This person says, I chose female because that is what I usually play, but I don't actually have a preference. I tend to like playing male characters though because it helps me to remember that I am in a fantasy, and I like looking through the eyes of someone different than I am. Though, I guess, my decision to play a male or female depends on the game and the type of character I want to play overall, especially since character development is very big in tabletop RPGs, which is what I usually play. This person says, I'm a female, so I prefer to play my own sex. I've tried playing male characters in the past, but just can't connect with them, especially if it's a role-playing situation. This person says, I'm a limited gamer. Even though the Xbox is sitting there, I haven't jumped into it yet. Most of what I'm playing either doesn't have an avatar or has a generic one, like Epic Mickey. However, when given the chance to create an avatar, we in general, Rock Band, I tend to create a female because I'm creating me. I'm also not making sense. Yes, this is Sue. This person was blatantly honest. Playing female characters would make me pervy. So I'm guessing they play male. This person says, I generally play male roles in a game the first time through, but if I repeat a game, or in the case of MMOs, created a second character, I will play a female just to see the different experiences in the game. This person was also blatantly honest. Well, you spend your hours looking at the back end of these characters, and it might as well be a pleasing back end. But aside from my obviously stereotypical male reasoning, strong female characters are a huge draw for me. This person says, female characters tend to be more interesting than male characters. Plus, not bad to look at. 26.7% of you are playing Mass Effect 3. And this is interesting. 70% of the people answering this survey are playing the female Shepard, not the male. 64.7% say they're not going to go back and play the opposite sex. And that's pretty much our poll. Thank you very much to everyone who participated and took the time to write a little bit about why they play female or male characters. Your contributions add substance to our shows, and again, we very much appreciate it. Thank you all for listening to Anomaly. We'll be back soon. Now, go tell your friends about our show.
Anomaly is created under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. Say that three times fast.
The creators of the Anomaly podcast want to hear from you. Post your feedback on iTunes, and you'll be given an autographed photo of Angela and Jen wearing bikinis. Disclaimer, I am a compulsive liar.
From Galaxy 4
to Sandminer 4.
From the seeds of death
to the seeds of doom.
From the meddling monk.
I'll get you for this, Doctor!
To the headless monks.
From Hartnell to Smith.
And everything in between.
Join us for Under the Miniscope, a weekly Doctor Who podcast in bite-sized chunks from the husband and wife team of
Andrew
and Sarah Gilbertson. We'll review classic serials,
discuss new episodes,
list favorite trends,
whatever's on our mind.
You can find us at www.nolinecinemas.com.
So come on by each week and hear which part of Doctor Who's nearly 50-year saga that we've got
under the miniscope.
A miniscope. Now let me warn you that I intend to put an end to this shameful business.
Have you ever wanted to share something with someone just because?
Well, we do a lot. So we started a podcast about, well, whatever we want. My name is Joyce.
And I'm her lovely husband, Al. Well, you know what I mean. And we're the hosts of the Disneyland podcast, Tales from the Mouse House.
And the Amazing Race podcast, Fast Forward.
And I'm one of the co-hosts of the MASH 4077 podcast. And you'd think with all of these podcasts, we'd run out of things to share. But then you'd be wrong. In our new show, Just Because, we're going to share all the things that, well, just don't fit into any of our other podcasts.
Yep, like videos of our puppy Kate as she plays with the water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some episodes chatting about one of our favorite TV shows.
Like Lost?
Uh-huh. Or maybe an audio play Al has written.
And we'll even have episodes contributed by others who have something to share but just don't want to start their own podcast. You never know what you'll find on this show. Why?
Just because. Visit us at justbecausepodcast.com and
in iTunes.
Just Because.
Hi, I'm Rick.
And I'm Amy.
And we're the co-hosts of Take Him With You, a podcast that's like a reality TV show, but it's not.
Come get the juicy details of our life here at the Moyer household.
Including geeky technology updates,
movie and TV reviews,
and a discussion on a life situation where you get to share on Facebook and Twitter through the impromptu question of the week.
Plus cool music and our spiritual perspective.
So when you're done listening to this really cool, awesome Anomaly podcast,
keep on your Anomaly t-shirt, but tune in to our podcast at takehimwithyou.com. We'd love to have you listen.
I've got my shirt on right now.
I know. I wear mine quite often, too. Yeah, they're very nice.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jen and Angela, you guys rock.
Yeah.
So do the other ladies that do cool podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Join us for the Take Him With You podcast, your weekly dose of reality in a good way.
Hopefully a good way.
Yeah. Well, that's, okay. That's the point.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi Radio Theater, the internet's premier source of original science fiction radio plays, presents the Bagua Tweet Box, a sci-fi murder mystery.
Now, what did you want to see me about?
My brother was murdered. I want you to find the killer since the police can't.
This electrifying 8-part series is available now as a podcast on iTunes and on sci-fi-radiotheater.com. New episodes uploaded on Sundays.
You will acquire the Kanyu job.
Set in a futuristic Boston where robots are a part of everyday life, private investigator Otto Vainikainen and his assistant Patricia must investigate the mysterious death of a scientist.
I need some information on the Omar Dia murder case.
Like I said, the boys are going to think you're into the weird stuff.
Get hooked on the mystery.
What's this? Half of the wall slid open.
Survive the danger.
Initiating destruction sequence. Status initiated.
Oh my god, it's a hyper-neurobomb.
Feel the drama.
We need to stop.
I'll tell you when we need to stop!
Stay for the hot, steamy robot sex.
I am here to act out your every fantasy. Please state fantasy in clear English towards my microphone input unit.
Okay?
The Bagua Tweet Box, an original 8-part sci-fi murder mystery radio play podcast from Sci-Fi Radio Theater. Episode 1 and 2 are available now on iTunes and at sci-fi-radiotheater.com. New episodes uploaded on Sundays. Don't miss the adventure for anything.
And hey, you did really good. I'm glad you're on this case.
Aw, thanks.
Ooh, you okay?
I slipped in blood.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B movie reel.
Do something. Shoot it! Shoot it!
That's about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since there have been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
Hello there, my name is Meds, and I'm one of the co-hosts of a podcast called Waffle On. And we talk about classic television programs and films from around the world. So hopefully, we'll be talking about something you'll like. And quite clearly, you have good taste because you're listening to the Anomaly Podcast. So, if you fancy coming over to our show and listening to us waffle on, then go to iTunes and type in Waffle On Podcast, or go to our main website, which is waffleon.podbean.com. We would be honoured if you'd join us.
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hi, my name's Kenny, and I'm a fanboy. Do you like Star Trek, Star Wars, Harry Potter? Do you consider yourself a brown coat or a twihard? Are you into cosplaying, LARPing, a furry? Can you speak Klingon or Elvish? Can you name all the doctors and their companions? Do you just love football or can't get enough of your favorite music group? Then this podcast is for you, Confessions of a Fanboy. Each episode, I sit down with a fanboy or fangirl and discuss their fandom and how it affects their daily lives. Be it geeky, sporty, or musical, fandoms can span a wide range of people. So come subscribe to Confessions of a Fanboy on iTunes, or visit us online at confessionsofafanboypodcast.com and take a listen to fellow fans talk about the love for their fandom.
Hello, Dan here. Well, you have impeccable taste since you're listening to this wonderful podcast. It's one of my favourites too. If you feel that you could squeeze another show into your regular listening though, why don't you give mine a go? It's called Out of Range, and I talk about the things I love. Everything from geeky TV, classic toys, and brand new technology and gadgets. You may find something you like, or be introduced to something you've never heard of. Search for Out of Range in iTunes, or go to the website at dangelus.com/out of range. I'd love to hear from you. Happy listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.